present I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Jack D.
Hello and welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. You join us for a second week in the county of Kent on a visit to the fine city of Canterbury. Herbert Morrison, Labour Transport Minister, had a home near here. In 1931, he introduced the Highway Code, which is a set of mandatory rules, guides, advice and information on how road users should behave. We thought we'd explain that in case any cyclists are listening. Widely regarded as the first railway line in England, the Canterbury and Whitstable Railway opened in 1830 to carry seafood to the city from Whitstable Harbour. It's often referred to as the Crab and Winkle Line by the Steam Preservation Euphemism Society. Services from Ashford International Railway Station to France started in 1996, operated by Eurostar. However, when the route to Disneyland Paris was opened, it was awarded to Southeastern Trains, who are already famous for their Mickey Mouse service. Following their recent election success, UKIP now have a club in Rochester, complete with bar and dining facilities. Visitors should be aware the restaurant doesn't accept cheques. Let's meet the teams. They are on my left, Graham Garden and John Finnemore. And on my right, Tony Hawks and Susan Kalman. And taking her place at the desk next to me, please welcome our scorer, the ever-fragrant Samantha. Well, we begin this week with a look at the Uxbridge English Dictionary. Now, words make a fascinating study with their subtleties of meaning. Take, for instance, the difference in the use of the words refrigerator and freezer. Refrigerator means a common household appliance that consists of a thermally insulated compartment and a heat pump that transfers heat from the inside of the device to its external environment so that the inside is cooled to below ambient temperature. Whereas freezer, jolly good fella, and so say all of us. But the meanings of words are constantly changing, team. So your suggestions, please, of any new definitions you may have spotted recently. Susan, can you start?
Chep stool. It's a digit at the end of a gentleman's foot.
John?
Concubine. A porcupine with a big nose.
Graham?
Looming, an antique porcelain lavatory.
Chauffeur, what can happen when you exit your car without knickers?
Hootenanny, a goat with a big nose.
Reading, to ring a bell for the second time.
Piper, what Australians write on.
Courtesy, dog to visit.
Victory, a Conservative MP you can rub on your chest.
Sycophants, when an anteater loses its appetite.
Well, the teams are going to sing along with some well-known discs now in the game called Pick Up Song. Samantha made a special trip to the Gramophone Library this week, where she and the archivist were being photographed for an article in Parry Match magazine. So she wanted to look her best. Samantha says she was delighted to be met by a French photographer before she changed into pink chiffon and blue serge.
Oh,
taken lots of pictures. He asked if Samantha would mind if he shot another load with her behind her desk. Samantha is now back in DJ mode and ready to spin the discs. Each of you should sing along to your record teams until Samantha turns the volume down. If on the music's return you're within a gnat's crotchet of the original, I'll be awarding points. And points mean we have no shame in nicking other people's catchphrases. What do points mean? This week's prize is sure to delight every keen cook who likes to strain different vegetables every day in the lead up to Christmas. It's this lovely advent calendar. John, you're to start. I'd like you to accompany the Disney chorus singing It's a Small World.
It's a world of laughter, a world of tears. It's a world of hopes and a world of there's so much that we share that each time we're aware it's a small world after all. 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 It's a small, small world. Es gibt nur einen Mond, eine Sonne scheint. Und mit einem Lektern ist eine Freundschaft gemeint. Zehner Bürger und mehreren Grenzen gefällt ein. Diese Welt ist ja so klein. Diese Welt ist ja so klein. Diese Welt ist klein, so klein. Diese Welt ist fein, so fein. Diese Welt ist ja so klein. En el mundo giras el dottora. Esperanza se hay también temor. Put your eye in the dark.
Esperanza se.
John, there's some Rochester residents going quite misty-eyed during the second quarter. Okay, well, you're next, Graham. I'd like you to accompany the Cordettes singing Lollipop.
Lollipop, lollipop, oh lolly, 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 lollipop, lollipop, oh lolly, 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 lollipop, lollipop, oh lolly, 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 lollipop. Boom, 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 boom. Lollipop, lollipop. Ooh, lolly, 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 lollipop, lollipop. Ooh, lolly, 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 lollipop, lollipop. Ooh, lolly, 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 lollipop. Boom, 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 boom. Call my baby lollipop. He's sweeter than apple pie. And when he does the shaky rocking dance, man, I haven't got a chance. I call him lollipop, lollipop. Ooh, lolly, lolly, lolly.
So you now, Susan, would you accompany Idina Menzel singing Let It Go from the film Frozen?
It's very much an anthem for me, this one.
Snow glows white on the mountain tonight, not a footprint to be seen. A kingdom of isolation, and it looks like I'm the queen. The wind is howling like this swirling storm inside. Couldn't keep it in, heaven knows I tried. Don't let them in, don't let them see. Be the good girl you always have to be. Conceal, don't feel, don't let them know. Well, now they know. Let it go, let it go. Can't hold it back anymore. Let it go, let it go. Turn away and slam the door. Storm rage on. The cold never bothered me anyway.
Storm rage on.
Pretty close there, Susan. And finally, Tony, author of Playing the Moldovans at Tennis. Can you accompany the Moldovan group Ozone singing Dragostea Dintei?
sunt eu un haiduc.
Vrei să pleci, dar numai, numai ei. Numai, numai ei. Numai, numai, numai ei.
Chipul tău și dragostea din tei. Mă întintesc de ochii tei. Vrei să pleci, dar numai, numai ei. Numai, numai ei. Numai, numai, numai ei. Chipul tău și dragostea din tei. Mă întintesc de ochii tei. Mai, 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 ha, mai, ha, ha, mai, hi, mai, hu, mai, ha, mai, ha, ha, mai, hi, mai, hu, mai, ha, mai, ha, ha, mai, hi, mai.
Tony Hawk singing with the audience here in Canterbury desperately trying to drown out the sound with clapping. Well, the teams are going to treat us to some acting now in the miming round called Sound Charades. This is a variation on the old TV favourite, Give Us a Clue. It may have billed itself as truly great comedy entertainment, but this version is something else. Now, in the original, the stage was invariably stolen by the mime master himself, Lionel Blair. Until then, Lionel Blair had only been known as a dancer. But just because he tap danced and hoofed a bit, that didn't mean he had no talent as a presenter or comedian. That was just a coincidence. Susan and Tony, you're to start, please, and your title will shortly be displayed to the audience via the laser display screen. For listeners at home, here's the mystery voice.
Gladiator. Gladiator.
Well, it's a film.
Yep.
How many words?
One word.
One word.
What's it called?
Now, as an anthropologist, I find this tribe from New Guinea particularly interesting. Are they cannibals?
No, no.
But didn't this chap here eat his own grandmother?
Yes, 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 he did.
And doesn't he regret it?
No, it's... Do you know, it's quite the opposite, actually.
What a chilling study. A man who was somehow... pleased that he consumed her.
I could almost say he was glad.
Gladiator!
Gladiator. Yes. Your turn, John and Graham. Your title now being exhibited on the laser display board. And here again is the mystery voice for listeners at home.
Interstellar. Interstellar.
Now, this is a film. It's a one-word film. It goes like this.
Dougal!
Angus! Where's Hamish?
He's having his tea.
Oh, you'll have had your tea then.
Oh, well, I was hoping for something a little stronger.
Oh, will you take a dram?
I am no longer a whiskey drinker, as well you know.
Indeed, that's why I offered.
I shall take a glass of your finest lager, if you will.
Lager, you see, but you used to drink pale ale.
Aye, that I did, but I could never find a pail big enough.
Will you not take a pint of McFogarty's speckled cock?
What? I will not do that, no. It's lager, or nothing for me.
Big Tam's old and peculiar?
Yeah, that he is, but it's... It's Madame Artois that'll see me right, and none other.
Madame Artois, really?
She's a wonderful woman, and she brews a fine tipple.
Oh, I see. It's Madame Artois you're after, is it?
I am her number one fan. In fact, You could say,
but... but I won't. Goodbye.
Susan Cowman is looking very excited.
Well, it's probably because of the pitch-perfect rendition of her home country that she is. Must have been like going home for her.
Yes. It is, I believe, Interstellar.
Well, the next round is a general knowledge quiz, but it's a quiz with a twist in that it's conducted backwards. So I'll supply the answers while the teams have to work out what the questions are. So, for example, if the answer is scientists are certain it exists but no one's ever seen it, then the question was, what did you think of the second half of An Evening with Nicholas Parsons? I'll provide the answers to various questions and I'll ask the teams to suggest what they think the original questions would have been. Okay, Graham, you can start and here's the answer. So what's the question? Wearing his trousers on his head for 24 hours.
How does Boris Johnson get that hairstyle?
It's actually, the question was, what was a popular cure for impotence for a 14th century man?
Work for Boris.
John, here's one for you. The answer is Theresa May.
Do you think any of our nuns will go to Calcutta?
And the question was, in fact, which Conservative politician was born Theresa Brazier? Tony, here's the answer. Between 8 and 20 teaspoons of urine.
What improves the flavour of Asda's own brand lager?
It was, in fact, what does each person in a swimming pool leave behind on average? Susan, here's the answer. What's the question? Roughly the population of Canterbury.
How many people a year live in Canterbury?
The question is, how big is the daily birth rate in China? Mm-hmm. Why they all come here, I don't know. Graham, poo sticks.
Name something that sticks.
It's which game invented by A.A. Milne now has a world championship which takes place at Little Wittenham Bridge on the River Thames? John, here's the answer. Wrinkle-faced, ghost-faced, flower-faced and big-eared.
Let's meet the teams.
Can you name four types of bat? Tony, ball-eating, itty-bitty-titty, Mr. Funbuns and nicest arms.
Let's meet the teams.
It's, in fact, what events take place at the annual Testicle Festival in Clinton, Montana? And finally, Susan, the answer is a network of dykes.
That's what it says.
What is Radio 4?
In fact, the question is, how does the Netherlands protect itself from the sea? The next game combines music and jokes and will require piano accompaniment provided by Colin Sell. Listeners will be interested to learn that Colin cleaned up headlining at Glastonbury this year, so if your car interior needs valeting, give him a call. In this round, Colin will play a series of musical clues which fit together to form a well-known joke. The teams must try to identify each clue. A team which comes up with the punchline first wins. Okay, so fingers on buzzers. Colin, can we have the first musical clue for the first joke, please? Graham.
I'll name that joke in one. That was ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ran.
Mm-hmm.
And ba might be the relevant point there. So it's a bar joke, and I think it's a skeleton walked into a bar and asked for a pint of bitter and a mop.
It's a good one, but that's not actually the one we're after. So, yes, Tony.
Penguin goes into a bar and says, "Has my brother been in?" And the landlord says, "I don't know, what does he look like?"
Susan?
What does a termite say when he walks into a bar? "Is the bartender here?"
Nothing wrong. John?
Is it the one about the man who goes into a bar and sees a cow behind the bar and stares at him in amazement, and the cow says, "What's the matter? Have you never seen a cow serving at a bar before?" And the man says, "No, it's not that. I just never thought the moose would sell the place."
Good. Okay, well, none of you got quite to the one I'm after. So, Colin, can you play the final clue? I don't know why you had to clear your throat to do that. Anyone? Yes, Graham.
That was Roll Out the Barrel, which is, I think, is not relevant to this joke. This joke is the one about the girl who went into the bar and asked the barman for a double entendre, and he gave her one.
That's not the one we're after.
We need more clues.
I actually said that. I think you might... One more clue then, please, Colin. You don't have to do that flourish thing. Yes, Susan.
Well, that was Hit the Road, Jack. I'm just helping.
Yes, John.
I don't know where the barrel fits in. I know one about two motorways in the sitting in the bar. Mm-hmm. The M25 and the M1 sitting in the bar. What? You think motorways don't like a drink? Shame on you. There they are, and a little tiny weedy strip of tarmac wanders in, and the M25 says to the M1, "Don't go near him, don't go near him." The M1 says, "What? We're two of the biggest roads in Britain. He's a tiny weedy strip of tarmac. Why shouldn't we go near?" "He's a psychopath."
John has just come fresh from his doing a corporate for the highways agency. It's not that one. So anyone come up with it?
No.
Well, the joke is a man walks into a bar with a roll of tarmac under his arm and says, "A pint, please, and one for the road."
Perhaps now you know.
Oh, right.
Yep. Let's try one more, see if we can get to the last one. Because we'll do the next one, please, Colin. Yes, Tony.
That's strolling.
It is.
And I think the joke is there are two pensioners strolling down the road, and they see this man on the other side of the road, and the lady says, "Isn't he the Archbishop of Canterbury?" Mm-hmm. The man says, "Yes, I think he is." And she says, we'll go and ask him. So he goes over, he goes up to the man, he says, "Excuse me, but are you the Archbishop of Canterbury?" And the man says, "Sod off." She goes back and she says, "What did he say?" He said, "Well, he told me to sod off." She says, "That's a shame, now we'll never know."
Susan?
I think it's the joke where there's a man walking down the street and he sees another man sitting on a bench with a dog, and he says to the man, "Is your dog violent?" And the man says, "No." And so the other man sits down and the dog viciously attacks him and it hurts him very badly, and he says, "I thought you said your dog wasn't violent." And he said, "No, my dog isn't."
Neither of those are the ones we wanted to get to. Very good, though. Let's have another clue, please, Colin. Graham time has come straight in there with
Hound Dog. So Susan must have been on the right lines there with the dog story. Was it two people strolling down the street and one says to the other one, "My dog's got no nose"? And the other one says, "How does it smell?" And he says, "He doesn't."
Yes, John.
Or is it the one with the man who goes to the cinema and sees a man sitting with his dog in the front row? And not only that, but whenever the villain comes on, the dog growls. And whenever the hero comes on, the dog wags his tail. And the first man can't believe this. And at the end of the show, goes up and says to the man, "Excuse me, but I saw what your dog was doing. That's absolutely extraordinary." And the second man says, "Yes, it is extraordinary. He hated the book."
Good. Again, it's not quite the one that we're after here. So probably the last clue now, please, Colin. Yes, Graham.
Unless I'm mistaken, that was another brick in the wall.
You were mistaken. Another brick in the wall, but that's not what Colin was really playing, was it? So, yeah, it is, yeah. Brick in the wall.
All right. I think then it must be about the man who's gone out for a stroll, and he sees a friend of his with a dog, and the dog wants to stop for a wee, and walks up to the wall, stands on its hind legs, leans forward on its front paws, and starts doing a wee. And the chap goes over to his friend and says, "How long has he been doing that?" And his friend says, "Ever since a wall fell on him."
That is the right answer.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, if you tune in again next week, same time, same place, you'll be in for a real treat, because we won't be here. We'll be back next year. So from the team, Samantha and myself, and our audience here in Canterbury, is goodbye. Goodbye.
Graham Garden, Tony Hawks, John Finnemore and Susan Kalman have been given silly things to do by Jack D, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme consultant was Ian Pattinson, and the producer was John Naismith.